Together. Last Sunday we began kind of a mini series on the theme of Be Thou My Vision, which is a hymn that I don't know if we've ever sang here. I think I've only sang it a couple of places. But that hymn, Be Thou My Vision, is really about seeing as God sees and having His vision and seeing things from His perspective. So we emphasized that in the introductory lesson last time. We talked about seeing trials as God sees them, not as something to be avoided, but something that can be for our good, that helps us mature and grow in the faith. We talked about seeing worship as God sees it, not something primarily about me, but primarily about Him. And then seeing ourselves as God sees us. And so tonight I want to continue with that series by looking at the second stanza of that hymn. It starts off, the hymn starts off by saying, Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. And the second stanza says this, Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. I want to call particular attention to the phrase, thou my true word. And I want to talk this evening about this idea of restoring our focus on God's word, of having the clarity to recognize God's word for what it truly is, as that which is divinely inspired, inerrant, God-breathed, and profitable for our lives. And I want you to notice how the psalmist in Psalm 119 talks about this. In verse 18, he says, Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. And that's what we're coming to do tonight, is to open up our eyes that we might see and behold wonderful things from the Word of God. And so the question I have for you tonight is, how do you see the Word of God? How do you see it? And I think Psalm 119 really helps to refocus and reorient our vision to see God's Word properly in the proper light. To recognize how valuable it is, how important it is, how critical it is to our lives as Christians. And I would suggest that that is a needed message in our society. It is a needed message in our society to restore our focus on the Word of God, because we live in a society that constantly downplays the Word of God, or ridicules the Word of God, or casts doubt and criticizes the Word of God. It is constantly under attack by skeptics. We live in a culture where people mock it and ridicule it and say all kinds of terrible things about it. Things like no intelligent person would ever believe what is recorded in this book. No intelligent person would ever believe anything that is written in this book. That's what critics would say. Who could believe stories about a guy who was swallowed by a great fish and was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights? No one believes that. No one believes that a man would rise who claims to be the Christ on the third day after dying. So critics and skeptics would say, no intelligent person believes this. And if that weren't enough, we're constantly told by critics of the Bible that this, the Word of God is full of errors and contradictions. This lesson isn't one about the integrity of the New Testament. But that is worthy of our discussion. That's worthy of us considering. But more importantly, I want to talk tonight about seeing the value of God's Word. Being reminded of that. Nothing we're going to talk about tonight is new to you. But it's helpful reminders to us. You know, how many households in our culture own copies of the Bible, let alone multiple copies of the Bible, but how often they sit on bookshelves and coffee tables. And so we can't be naive either to think that that attitude in our culture doesn't affect us. And so I just ask you tonight, how do you see the Word of God? How valuable is it to you? How much do you delight in it? Do we approach it with eager anticipation that we get to read the mind of God as He has conveyed that to us in His Word? And so especially in these times that we live and in every time, it's important that we exalt the Word of God and give it the proper honor that it deserves. And so Psalm 119 helps us reorient our vision to have a greater appreciation of the Word of God. And I want to share a couple of things with you tonight. And the first one is this, that I need to see the Word of God as a source of light in my life. I need to see the Word of God as a source of light. Go to Psalm 119 in verse 105. I know I preached on Psalm 119 a while back, but especially when it comes to this, it's important that there are so many things we can learn from this book, this psalm, about the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105, the psalmist says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." It is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. It enlightens us. It illuminates the pathway that we're traveling down and guides me every step of the way. It doesn't take much to realize we live in a dark world. If you turned on your television this afternoon, or if you do that at night, it is not hard to realize that we live in a very dark and wicked and sinful world where we're constantly hearing about murders and all these things on the television, many pitfalls that people fall into. And so we need the Word of God to illuminate our pathway as we try to navigate the darkness of the world that we live in. You ever tried to walk in the dark? You ever got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom or something and you're trying to find your way through the darkness of your house? That's a difficult thing to do. Norman mentioned a while back in context of the plagues, Mammoth Cave, I was able to go there living in Kentucky. And you literally, when you get to the part where they turn the lights out, you can't see your hand in front of you. Or even just driving down a street at night that is completely dark, there's no lights around you, it is difficult to navigate the darkness when there's no light around. Which is why we need the Word of God to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. And it sheds light upon our pathway, I think, in two ways, at least two ways. I think, first of all, the Word of God is a lamp to my feet, that it allows me to see the potential pitfalls that I might fall into if I'm not careful. That it sheds light on the pitfalls that so many people fall into in the world we live in. The Word of God illuminates my pathway so that I can see those pitfalls and not fall into them. Now, I might avoid them and not get caught up in them. For example, the Word of God shows me what happens when I get entangled with the wrong crowd. What a terrible pitfall that can be. The Word of God shows me what happens. The danger of alcohol and the things that it presents to my life. It enlightens me and instructs me about the consequences of sexual immorality and how it can destroy my life. The Word of God shines a light upon those pitfalls, that I might be able to peer into them and see how devastating and dark and tragic those pitfalls can be and what they can do to my life. And so, if you look back at verse 105, the verse right before that, the psalmist says, "From your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." When the Word of God is a lamp to my feet, I gain a new sense of understanding, that I would understand what sin does to my life. And so I don't just avoid it, but I hate it. I want nothing to do with it. because the Word of God has become my light. But it doesn't just allow me to see potential pitfalls. On a positive note, it allows me to see the path that I should remain upon. As the Word of God is leading me and guiding me, it reminds me of the path that I must remain upon as a child of God. It imparts light and clarity upon the path that I should take in life. It shows me as I read it and as I study it, a path that is pleasing and honoring and glorifying to God, that I might continue in that pathway. It answers the questions that so many people have in life, like, who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? It answers all of those questions and shows me what path I should take. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 130. Just a little ways down. Psalm 119 and verse 130. The psalmist says, "The unfolding of your words gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple." When the Word of God is opened and I read it, it gives clarity to my life to see which path I should go down and remain upon. It shows me principles to live by that I might exalt the Lord and glorify Him in my life. And so that's what the Word of God does for us. It restores our focus and it guides us on our way. But it isn't just that it serves as a source of light. Number two, it serves as a source of wisdom. The Word of God, I need to see it as a source of wisdom in my life. That as every time that I open it, I have an opportunity to gain wisdom and insight about how God wants me to live. You know, when you kind of think about that for a moment, there are lots of different avenues we could go down in life to find wisdom from. Just kind of as an example, young people go to school on Monday, or you're homeschooled on during the week. And so there, in and of itself, is an opportunity to gain wisdom by thinking about and considering what you learn in that. You could go down to the library, if anybody does that these days, I'm not exactly sure. But you go to the library or a local bookstore and pick out a book and gain a certain level of wisdom from what someone writes. Or you could look on the internet. Not everything on the internet is bad. There are a lot of things to be avoided. But there are things you can learn and gain wisdom from through the internet, like blogs or videos or whatever it may be. And I recognize that obviously there is a sense we need to be on guard about some of those things, because not everything that we read is true and right and can present dangers to our faith. But there are avenues in life to gain wisdom from. And to that I would say two things. First of all, that can be a good thing as it aligns with Scripture. But you also need to understand this. Understand whatever wisdom you gain in this life is always going to be inferior to the wisdom of this book. Any wisdom you gain from human authors is always going to be inferior and pale in comparison to the wisdom from the Word of God. It will always take second place. Why is that? Why is the Word of God always going to be greater? And it's simply because of its source. Anything I read from somebody else is just a human being. But this book comes from the God of heaven. And it is for my good. The Word of God has a divine author who is the very source of wisdom. If you look at Psalm 119 and verse 97... Psalm 119, verse 97, notice what the psalmist says about this. Psalm 119, verse 97, the psalmist says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I've restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Did you notice how he emphasized the idea of the wisdom that comes from God's word? How it makes him wiser than those different groups of people, his enemies, his teachers, and the aged. I don't think it's a prideful thing that he's saying there. I think he recognizes that whatever the case may be, God's wisdom is always superior. That when we read the Word of God, as we study it, we are accessing a higher source of wisdom. You know, think about how often the Word of God compares two different types of wisdom. There is man's wisdom and God's wisdom, which often are completely different. Think about what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that the wisdom of the world is foolishness. Greeks thought about the cross of Christ as a stumbling block or foolishness. The Jews saw it as a stumbling block, but we recognize it as the power and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18 through 25. So think about that contrast. And think about how the Word of God is the source of wisdom in our lives. I was kind of thinking about that this week. And I was thinking about this, and I may be off on this a little bit. But I think there's something valuable to think about in terms of this. We're in a room tonight with lots of young people who I believe understand more about how the world began than a lot of professors with PhDs and colleges. Not because they may know more about all of that stuff than them, but because they've tapped in to the source of wisdom in God's Word, and they accept what the Word of God says about creation, while so many in the world would reject all of that. We have parents here who understand what it means to raise children to know and serve the Lord, because they've tapped into the wisdom of God's Word. We have married couples here who have been married for 30 and 40 and 50 years who have a greater understanding of how to make a marriage work, because they've tapped into the wisdom of God's Word and can share that wisdom with us. We may be able to learn things from professors at school on books, on marriage counselors, all those kinds of things. But the wisdom of God is always going to triumph. It's always going to lead us in the right direction. That's not going to be something that comes automatically, but something that we have to yearn for and long for, that we would apply ourselves to gain the wisdom of God's Word. If you go back through verses 97 through 104, why is it that His commandments, God's commandments, make Him wiser than His enemies? For they are ever mine. It was personal to Him. He made it a part of His life. Why is it that He understood more than the aged? Because I've observed your precepts. It was something that He applied Himself to. And so He was gaining the wisdom of God's Word. And so I need to see it not only as a source of light, not only as a source of wisdom, but also as a source of peace. God's Word is a source of peace. If you look at Psalm 119, verse 165. Psalm 119, verse 165, the psalmist says, "Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble." That's an amazing statement, isn't it? Those who love your law, who make it part of their life, who live it every day, have great peace. And nothing causes them to stumble. But how does that work? As I read the Word of God, as I know it, how does it provide peace in my life? I think there are a couple of ways that that is true. I think one way is, as the end of this verse says, those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. So think about that. As I'm living the Word of God, as I'm loving it, as I'm applying it to my life, it's going to keep me from all of those pitfalls that cause me to stumble in life. I'm going to avoid them because I love the Word of God and I travel its pathway. But could I suggest another reason the Word of God gives us peace? Because it's always right. It is always true. Psalm 119 and verse 160, the psalmist says, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting." The Word of God is always right. It is always true, and there is peace that I can have in that. Knowing that as I follow the Word of God, I can know that what I'm doing is right and true in the eyes of God, because the Word of God is always right, and it gives me peace. So it is no wonder, no mystery then, that as we live in a culture that is constantly drifting away from the Word of God, we live in a culture that becomes more and more indifferent and careless toward the Word of God, it is no mystery then that so many people fall deeper and deeper into despair and grief because they left the Word of God behind. But if we will keep ourselves in the Word of God, if we will make it part of our life, we can have great peace because of what God's Word says and what He offers in His Son. All those things you know. You know that it is a source of light. You know it's a source of wisdom and a source of peace. But here's what I want to talk about for the remaining time. Is that how I see the Word of God? And if I do see it as a source of light and wisdom and peace, what is my response to the Word of God? Because that's just important. It's as important, isn't it? Not only that I see it in all of those ways, but that I properly respond to it. Not only does Psalm 119 identify how to better see and understand the Word of God, but it also identifies what our proper response should be. And so here are a couple of things as we wrap up. If the Word of God is my light and my wisdom and my peace, then I need to value it. I need to esteem it as important and valuable in my life. If you look at Psalm 119, verse 72, Psalm 119, verse 72, the psalmist says this. Psalm 119 verse 72, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." Drop down to verse 127, where this idea is further elaborated upon. Psalm 119 verse 127, the psalmist says, "Therefore I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold." That is how much he valued the Word of God. We might say it this way, that I would rather have the wisdom and guidance from God's Word than all the money in the world. I guess that's a really easy thing to say when all the money isn't on the table. But how much do I value the Word of God? Is it more valuable to me than any earthly treasure the world may offer? That's a hard thing to really think about. How much do I value it? If someone could record our lives for a day and think about that claim in my life, that the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold or silver pieces, would that claim in my life be confirmed or denied? And I guess the question becomes, why is God's Word so valuable? If you go back to Psalm 119 and verse 71, right before verse 72, I want you to notice what the psalmist says. He said, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." I want you to think about how those two things are directly connected here. That the reason it was so valuable to him is that he learned that the Word of God could do something for him in contrast to earthly treasures. That was why it was so valuable, because he learned so much about the Word of God in his affliction. He understood that gold or earthly treasures couldn't comfort him like the Word of God could comfort him. He understood that earthly treasures couldn't bind up a broken heart like the Word of God could bind up a broken heart. It couldn't bring relief to a wounded spirit like the Word of God could bring relief to a wounded spirit. And so is that how valuable the Word of God is to me? I need to value it. But secondly, I need to long for it. It needs to be something that I long for. Look at Psalm 119, verse 131. The psalmist says, I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Think about that imagery for a moment. The word opened here expresses the eagerness of a hungry or thirsty animal as they're opening wide their mouths to have a drink of water. Do I long and pant and thirst after the Word of God in that way? I think about the hymn we sing sometimes. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Could we say that about the Word of God? That I love it so much. I long for it so much that I can't get enough of it and I don't want to put it down. It's something that I can't go without. So I have to long for it. And then thirdly, I need to meditate upon it. Psalm 119, verse 147 and 148. I love this. It's a contrast, a comparison here. Verse 147, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. And then verse 148, my eyes anticipate the night watches that I may meditate on your word. The psalmist began and ended his day with God. And I think he's saying, I long for the night. When all the stresses of the day are gone and my eyes can float to your word, my mind can float to your word, and I can just meditate and think about how great and wonderful your word is and what it means for my life. Do I meditate upon it? Maybe it's not the night watches. Maybe it's during the day. But having those times where I can just be away from everything else and think about maybe something that I read that day or something we talked about in class. But I need to meditate upon it. And then finally, I need to give thanks for it. Look at one last verse in 164. Psalm 119, verse 164. The psalmist says, seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. How blessed are we that we have the Word of God at our fingertips. There are not a lot of places in the world that have access to the Bible like we have access to the Bible. Some places more difficult than others. How thankful we should be that we have the ability to pick up the Word of God at any moment in our day and read it. But how often do we express our thankfulness to God for His Word? The psalmist says seven times a day. Can we do it at least once? To express our thankfulness and gratitude for the Word of God. I think all of those build off one another. When I value the Word of God, I'll long for it. When I long for it, I'll meditate upon it. And as I meditate upon it, I'll give thanks for it. And so I ask you tonight as we wrap up, how do you see the Word of God? Because if I really value it, not only will I do all of those different things we talked about, but if I really value the Word of God and I see it as God wants me to see it, I will be obedient to it and keep His Word. Maybe that's what you need to do tonight. If you've never become a child of God? Are you ready to render obedience to the gospel and become a child of God and go on your way, seeing it the way that you should? Maybe you're here tonight as a child of God and need help in your walk. You've fallen into some of those different pitfalls in life and need the encouragement and prayers of this congregation. If we can help you in doing that, please let that be known as we stand and sing.